You have your Bibles with you tonight. We encourage you to take them. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. This came out of a series of messages that I preached a few years ago when I was over in Newcastle on dealing with difficulties. And the title of this message is just simply A Word for the Worried. Let me ask you this question. How many of you in the last 24 hours have worried about something? All right, thank you for your honesty. The rest of you, let me ask it this way, because I know we can Christianize this. I'll make it easy for you. How many of you have been concerned about something in the last 24 hours? All right, that's about all of us inside this room, I think, have a concern about some things. And if we're really honest, sometimes we actually do worry. But I want to share with you these couple of verses. You know them very well. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, if you follow along in your Bible. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Father, it is our prayer now that you will quiet our hearts. Help us, Father, to listen as the Spirit of God deals with our hearts. A word for the worried. Father, it's so easy for us to take up the problems and difficulties and try to bear them ourselves. But Father, we thank you that we're talking to the one who is the burden bearer. Father, it's our prayer tonight that you would help us to let go and let you be a God who is in control in all areas of our life. May we understand, Father, that worry really is a sin. And may we give that to you, Lord, and allow you to take it away from us, Lord, and to trust in you. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you're going to teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. There were two friends that sat down at the lunch table together, and one of them confessed, "I've got a mountain of credit card debt. I've lost my job, my car's been repossessed, and the bank is foreclosing on my house." But he said, "I got to tell you, friend, I am not worried about it." His friend said, "Well, you're not worried. How can you possibly have all of that going on and not be worried?" And the man said, "Well, I'll tell you why." He said, "I have hired a professional worrier. He does all the worrying for me, and that way I don't have to think about it." "Well, that sounds great. By the way, how much do you have to pay this professional worrier?" He said, $50,000. "Where are you going to get $50,000? Man shrugged his shoulders and said, "I don't know. That's his worry." Well, I don't know what you might be worried about this evening or what you might be concerned about. There are probably many people who would gladly pay someone else to do their worrying for them. Worry seems to be an unhealthy pastime for a lot of people. There are Christians, and I'm sure you would agree with me, who for the most part have got it together spiritually. If you were to talk to them, they would share with you that they've got things pretty much settled in their hearts and in their minds. They don't battle against any great moral temptations. They don't struggle with any gross addictions or worldly vices. Yet there's one problem that always seems to plague them, and that's the problem of worry. The time they should be spending enjoying the blessings of God is instead squandered by that nail-biting, hair-graying, brow-wrinkling, and stomach-churning worry. There are those who would not consider worry to be a very big issue. Yet I want to share with you, my friend, that the Word of God speaks to us, and it's very clear that worry is the opposite of faith. Worry is the opposite of faith, and all that is not faith, the book of Romans says, is what? Sin. And so you and I sit here tonight, and if we're worried and if we're concerned too much, then we need to understand that it is sin in our lives. The old preacher and great evangelist John Wesley took worry so seriously that he said this, and I read this and I thought, it's an interesting quote from this man. He said, "I would no more worry than I would curse or swear." Really concerned about that area of worry. Now, understanding that worry is a sin and that it hinders us from pleasing God, the question we ask ourselves is, then what can we do about it? It's something that affects every one of our lives. What can we do about it? What does the Bible say to help us deal with the difficulty of worry? Well, there really is a word for the worried here in this passage of Scripture. In fact, here in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, we find an oft-quoted verse of Scripture that gives to us a wonderful prescription for the chronic warrior. In this verse, there are three truths that help us to deal with our worries. It's always good when they come in threes. It fits real well into a message. So that's what I'm going to do, is share those three thoughts that are here in this passage of Scripture. Notice, first of all, the Lord acknowledges the reality of our worries. Have you ever looked at a child? You watch them and they're playing, and I just love watching kids, don't you? It's so much fun to watch them play. There's nothing on their hearts, nothing on their minds, and their innocence. When you were a child, you didn't have to worry about how you were going to pay the bills. No clock to punch, no kids to rear. You didn't worry about presidential politics. You didn't worry about the IRS. You didn't worry about war. You didn't worry about anything as a child. Unfortunately, with adulthood, innocence exits. And the reality of all the deadlines and the demands and the duties become all too real. In our life, there is generally the presence of something over which we can worry. And it's interesting to me that as you study the Word of God, the Scriptures never deny, they never condemn the presence of worries. There are those who would tell you that the Christian life is without problems and worries. But my friend, I want to tell you, those people are telling you something that's contrary to the Word of God. The Bible says that you and I are born to problems as the sparks fly upward. So we understand that we're going to have problems in our lives. I think it's a terrible thing when a person gets saved and someone tells them, well, now your life is going to be rosy. Listen, nothing could be further from the truth. Satan is really alert to you now. And he's understanding of what things he can throw in your path. And in our text this evening, you find that the Lord acknowledges that worries are often a reality of life. And I want you to notice with me two truths that remind us that God is aware of our worries. Number one, as you look at our text, the fact of worry is suggested. Look again there, notice Peter's words. He says in verse 7, casting all your care upon Him. I just wrote down in my notes, as I was studying this, if we're to cast our care, the implication is we must have cares to cast. That's not too hard for us to figure out, is it? If we're to cast our cares, there must be cares for us to cast. There are those who feel that because they're Christians, there's supposed to be nothing in their life that could cause them worry. They wrongly think that they're never supposed to have any crisis times in their life. They feel that because they've been saved from damnation, they likewise have been saved from difficulty. Well, that kind of rosy conception of the Christian life is simply not consistent with the New Testament revelation. The fact of worrisome and troublesome times is implied and suggested throughout the Word of God. When you have time, go back and look at John chapter 16, verse 33. And you'll notice in that verse of Scripture, it says, in the world ye shall have what? Tribulation. That's a problem, folk. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. The Apostle Peter, here in the same epistle that we're looking, back in chapter 4 and verse 12, says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. So the Bible's pretty clear, isn't it? We're going to have those trials. Contrary to some very modern teaching, Christianity is not a vaccine for trouble. There are going to be cares, there are going to be worries in the journey of our Christian life. Now I want you to notice something else that reminds us that God acknowledges the reality of our worries. Notice not only the fact of worry here, but I want you to notice the face of worry is seen. In our text and throughout the Bible, there's an implication that worries are a reality in the life of God's people. And likewise, throughout the Word of God, we find illustrations of that principle. Now, I want you to just kind of, I was going to ask you to close your eyes, but you might not open them again, but just kind of think about some things here from the Old Testament especially. I was thinking about Abraham. And you know, I preached that passage of Scripture so often about Abraham and Isaac, and you have read it and thought about it, I'm sure, many times as well. And Abraham is climbing up that mountain, and Isaac is at his side. Now, if you would have been the dad, and that would have been your son, thinking about the fact that this is he's soon to sacrifice his only son. Let me ask you something. Do you think there would be worry on your face? I'll tell you what, there sure would have been mine. I sat there Sunday morning and listened to my son, and I'll tell you what, whenever you have an opportunity to do something like that, it causes the tears to flow down your cheeks. To know that God is using your offspring to continue to preach the Word of God, what a blessing. And if I had to do something like Abraham was doing here, to sacrifice my own son, I don't know what it would be like. And yet, he did, and there was worry on his face. I think about David. And as you study David in the Bible, and you study through that whole section of the Scripture, and you see him running as hunted prey from Saul's jealous pursuit, over and over again in his prayers and in his Psalms, you hear the sound of concern and worry. Watch the disciples as they battle against the swells of the sea and the strength of the storm. Do you think if we had a picture of that storm, there would be concern on the faces of the disciples? I think we would. The face of worry is illustrated in the lives of countless Bible characters and tells us that God does not deny the reality of worry. God is not like the man whose body is clearly ill but chooses to ignore his symptoms. Rather, God is like the physician that clearly diagnoses the problem, the disease, and he prescribes a cure. I love my doctor over in Newcastle. She said to me the other day, I went over to get a checkup and get my medicine renewed, and she's writing things down, and she said, Pastor Pycraft, she goes, I'm going to put down that you're 1 pound overweight. Had a good doctor? I thought that was great. I thought, sure, I was 2 pounds over. But she said, no, you're only 1 pound overweight. I said, thank you, thank you, thank you. Would you please tell Sandy? I want her to know. Aren't you glad for good physicians, though, who tell you exactly what you need to do? And they prescribe for you the right medication. We stood around Jesse's bed the other day, and there were 10 doctors that came in and stood around that bed and were sharing their concerns and thinking about what can we do? What is our next step? And I was so impressed by those physicians, not only because of what they were saying, but because of the concern in their hearts. They showed real concern for this young man. I want to share with you tonight, listen, I don't know all of your problems. I know some of the situations that you're going through. But if you're burdened down with worries, take heart. God does not ignore, nor does he deny the reality that there are things that can easily worry his feeble children. He acknowledges the reality of worry in our lives. Now notice as we go continue on in our text that we find a second truth. Not only do we see that God acknowledges the reality of our worries, but notice here, God addresses the removal of our worries. Again, far from ignoring here, the Lord gives us instruction for dealing with our difficulties. Notice what Peter says, casting all your care upon him. And here the Lord acknowledges that there are worries, and his word to us is that we are not to carry them, but rather to do what? Cast them. By examining this verse of Scripture and the words that are leading up to it, we find that what we're supposed to do in order to remove our worries, notice, first of all, the attitude that's needed. I can remember my mom saying to me when I was growing up, young man, you need an attitude adjustment. I know you have a hard time believing that, but that's what she said. You need an attitude adjustment. My brother was the quietest guy you ever saw. He never talked back. It really put me in bad light. And I've told him that. But I was the kind that always had to talk back. Always had to have the last word. And I think that's what she meant when she said that I needed an attitude adjustment. But as you study verse 7 here, and you study it in the light of the verses that come before it, Peter really begins earlier in this chapter, as you look back in the earlier passage here, he speaks to the pastors of the church, and then he shifts his attention to those that are under the pastor, and he talks about the issue of submission. It's interesting that what we've been seeing in verse 7 comes right after what he says in verse 6. Notice he says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Before you and I are told to cast our care upon the Lord, we're told to humble ourselves under his able and mighty hand. Now, I've heard it said, and it's so true. Pride and worry are usually not problems that we associate with one another, but in reality, all worry stems from pride. The Bible teaches us in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for our good and that God is ultimately in control of whatever we face in this life. And yet when we insist upon that worry, we are in essence saying that we know better than God and that even though He is in control, we're still worried that it's not going to work out in the best way possible. Have you ever been there? Have you ever thought those kind of thoughts? Worry is pride in a very humble disguise. Peter teaches us that if we would remove our worries, we must first adopt a humble attitude before God and trust that He is greater than anything we're facing. And listen, my friend, I'm standing here tonight to tell you that God is greater than any problem we have. If you're sitting here tonight and you're burdened down with a problem or difficulty, I'm encouraged and challenged to tell you, listen, my friend, our God is greater than that problem. And as you come before Him, you can say, "Lord, I need your help, and I'm trusting in you. I know that you can meet this need." We have a great God who can minister to every one of our needs, whatever we're facing. Notice something further here. When we see, when God addressed the removal of our worries, we see not only the attitude that's needed, but you'll notice that there's an action that's needed as well. Once we've humbled ourselves in verse 6, and placed our trust in His overriding abilities, what then? Well, Peter continues in verse 7, then he says, casting all your care upon Him. Now, I want you to look at that word casting for just a second. It's translated from a Greek word that only appears one other place in the New Testament. And that took me by surprise. I just wasn't thinking along that line, but notice in Luke chapter 19, if you would. Go to Luke chapter 19 and look with me at verse 35. It comes in a very interesting portion of Scripture. You get to Luke chapter 19 and you're thinking, well, hey, wait a minute, that's the triumphal entry, and you're right. Look at verse 35. And they brought Him to Jesus, and they what? Cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. There is the exact same Greek word that's used back here in 1 Peter chapter 5. And here it is, we're told the people cast their garments upon that donkey that Jesus rode in His triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The idea here of the word is completely remove something from yourself and then to place it totally and finally upon someone or something else. That's the word cast. Now, I asked you at the beginning, how many of you have ever worried about something or concerned about something in the last 24 hours? The problem that many of us have, and I'm sure you'd agree with me on this, is that we might cast it, but it doesn't stay. And pretty soon we find ourselves picking it right back up again. This word means to cast it completely from yourself, totally and finally upon someone or something else. And the indication of this word is also that this is a once and for all transaction. The teaching here is not that we're to cast each worry upon the Lord as they come along. That's not a bad idea. But what Peter is telling us here is we can come to the place where we completely give all of our worries, past, present, future, to the Lord. Wow. One writer said, explained the word translated cast literally means that we come to the place where we resolve to cast the whole of our future worries upon Him. And he goes on to say that the result will be that when things that would usually worry us, they rise, they won't worry us at all anymore because they've already been cast upon the Lord. I want to learn to do that. How about you? I want to learn to do that. I don't want to go around wringing my hands wondering, listen, I've seen God do so many wonderful, marvelous things in my life. I just need to be drawn back into reality and go back and think about it and remember what God has done. Listen, the God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a great God we serve. Casting all your care upon Him. When we do that action, with this one all-encompassing casting of our cares, we can say with the songwriter, I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said, and I know I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what is ahead. You know, for the worrier, the Lord Jesus instructs us on how we can remove our worries. I want you to look at one other thought here. The Lord acknowledges the reality of our worries. We know that. The Lord addresses the removal of our worries. Here's number three. The Lord accepts the responsibility of our worries. The instructions God gives us for our worries come from an explanation here. Look again at verse 7. Peter says, casting all your care upon Him. And notice these words. For He careth for you. I had to stop there. I just kind of leaned back in my chair and it was quiet at my house today. Sandy was here teaching and nobody was there. And I just sat back and I said, Lord, help me to understand that. What does it mean? For He careth for you. You know, it's important to note while the word care is used a second time in this verse, it comes from a different Greek word. His care for us is nothing like the worry we feel over our problems. The promise of verse 7 is that if we will once and for all hand over our lives with all our cares, with all of our worries, Christ will accept full responsibility for the care of our lives. The great preacher and missionary, Andrew Murray, once said, God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to Him. And as we finish this great verse, I want you to notice with me a couple of truths we find about the Lord's promise regarding our worries. Notice, first of all, His care for us. It's a great point here about that last phrase in verse 7, He careth for you. It could literally be translated, are you ready for this? For you are His concern. You and I are His concern. Think of that. The sun doesn't rise without His permission. And He's concerned about us. The earth rotates in obedience to His command. And yet, we are His concern. The tides move in rhythm of His desire, and yet His desire for me is there to care for my needs. What a marvelous thought that God cares for us. When you think about the God of this universe, the One who is the Creator, and yet to you and I, you can look at your life tonight and you can say, you know what? Because of what it says in the Word of God, I'm going to accept what it says because it says it here and it's God's Word to me. He cares for us. Someone had said it this way. If God attends the funeral of the sparrow, He surely cares for you. Your life and mine. He who sees the sparrow fall. When you understand that you are His concern and that while your life may be full of cares, you are His care. Worry suddenly seems to like be such a futile, foolish thing. Why should we worry when the God of the universe is caring for us? Remember that little song? Well, we used to sing it, didn't we? Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Rest fully in His promise. Why worry, 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 worry? What? When you can pray. But I think many of us say, why pray when you can worry? That's the way we kind of live our lives, isn't it? I remember in the late 1980s, and I don't even know why I know this, but I remember there was a song. Did anybody remember the name of the song? Don't Worry, Be Happy. Remember that? Don't worry, be happy. Well, I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what, I need more than some catchy little song to relieve me of my worries. The good news is there is a God who cares about us. And that ought to be something that you and I can say, hallelujah, what a Savior. Well, not only I want you to notice His care for us, but notice His commitment to us. Whenever you read your Bible, pay close attention to the tenses of the words. You need to ask questions as we study it. Is this verse talking about something that has happened, is happening, or is going to happen? Look at verse 7 again. Peter says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. The tense of the word here indicates that His care for us is a continual thing. Oh, beloved, in faith, let's grasp this truth. There's not a day, not an hour, not even a second that the Lord Jesus doesn't care for us. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord spoke to the prophets and said, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That's a long time. Pastor Bradford was sharing with us about eternity yesterday in our Young at Heart. And he was just using that illustration about the bird that went to heaven. God told him to go down and get one little speck of sand and bring it back. How long is eternity? How long is eternity? It's hard for us to understand, isn't it? The word everlasting is hard for us to understand. Yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. We're not always committed to Him. We're as often as inconsistent as the weather. Yet the Lord continually and consistently cares for us. Most of us at some time in our life have uttered those sacred vows. And I heard them again this weekend. For better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health. Unfortunately, those words don't hold the same weight in our society that they once did. Now, while society's commitments may wax and wane, and man's promises may bend and break, the Word of God, my friend, that Bible you have upon your lap, will stand forever. He cares for you. And that's His commitment to us. Peter reminds us that when we cast our cares upon the able shoulders of Christ, He accepts the responsibilities of our worries. J.C. Penney, the founder of the Great Giant department store, was a devout Christian. He came from a long line of Baptist preachers, by the way. He lived a very moral, clean life, had an impeccable testimony. However, things were not always perfect. In 1929, when the Great Depression hit, J.C. Penney found himself and he began to worry constantly about the situation. He made some very poor business decisions. Couldn't sleep. His health began to deteriorate. He eventually ended up in the hospital. Nothing seemed to help. He actually came to the point where one night he thought he was going to die. He sat down in his hospital room and he wrote his farewell letters to his wife and to his son. As the morning broke, Penny found that he hadn't died. He woke up and he heard some singing going on in the chapel in the hospital wing where he was. And the words of that song echoed in his heart. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. And at that instant, J.C. Penney said there was a miracle that took place. And from that day forward, He never wrestled with that kind of worry again. He looked back on that morning and he called it the most dramatic and glorious 20 minutes of his life. You know, it could be that you and I sit here tonight like J.C. Penney, racked with worry. Your life seems consumed with fear and anxiety over what might happen. The Scripture has a word for the worrier. At this very moment, you can be delivered from worry. That's what this message is all about. Verse 6 and verse 7, you put it all together, and what he says is, if we'll just humble ourselves before the power of God and cast all our worries now and forever upon the strong shoulders of Christ, you can be delivered from the difficulty of worry. And then we need to remember, He careth for you. What great words to close our time with tonight. Whatever's upon your heart and mind, you don't know what the future holds, but aren't you glad that the God that you love and the God that you serve holds tomorrow in His hand, and He careth for you. Maybe as a Christian tonight, you're here and you're struggling. There's some worries that are just holding you down, and you're not able to really serve the Lord the way you should. There's a word for the worrier. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. What a great God we serve. Amen. My prayer for all of us is that we'll leave here tonight encouraged to cast all our care upon Him. Let's bow together for prayer.